This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Greetings and salutations. Grant and Danny are at chop on 106.7 The Fan. If you're listening on the radio, that's cool. You listen on the Odyssey app, that's cool too, bro. Wherever you want to be, that's where we're going to be. No GP for the balance of the week. We got a fun one for you today. We're going to Tap Sports Bar MGM, National Darbar, tomorrow and Friday. What we're going to do there, and it'll be very complicated, we're going to sit on our butts, eat delicious food, and watch the tournament. Sorry about it. Toby's along with me. We've got plenty of stuff to talk about today, but Toblerone, what's up, dude?
Dude, it's good to be here. I'm excited about the tournament games coming up tomorrow. It's what I'll usually be doing anyways, right? Sitting at home, sitting on my butt, eating, except I get to hang out with you guys. So I'm excited about it. I'm really excited about it.
So you just said something. Actually, it's true for me. It's very fitting. When people ask me, they find out what I do. It's unique. Not that many people do it, right? It's a different line of work, and I love it, obviously. But they're like, what's that like? And I tried to explain, because I've had real jobs before, you know, and like, I know this counts. We get paid and stuff. Tens of dollars changes hands. But it's like, the stuff I'm doing anyway, the stuff me and my buddies, like when I'm texting my buddy Pat, like all the time, it's like, we're not just like, hey, what's going on with the kids? It's like, can you believe they didn't re-sign this guy? Why did they bring back this running back and not go shopping? Like, the stuff that I'm doing anyway with my pals, that's what I do. And they were like, oh, okay, well, that sounds pretty good. I'm like, yeah, it is. Like, yeah, that's the trade-off. You get to make lots of money doing your thing that's in demand. I have fun while I work. So I guess that's a balance.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice. It is something, like, I go to so many games, different stuff. I'd be doing it anyways. I'd be sitting at home watching the Nats. I might as well be over at the ballpark. I'm going to be watching these games regardless. I'm going to have 3-4 TVs. Why not do it at Tap Sports Bar, hanging out with you guys? So I'm really excited about it.
A game that we watched last night, this Washington Capitals Hockey Club, you may have seen them. And what they do when they play games, they win them at an unbelievable clip. So it's 1-1 in the third last night. I'm flipping back and forth between that incredible Alabama State game, which was a thriller ending. We'll get to that in a second. But I'm watching the Capitals. They're not playing that great. This is what I love so much about this team. I'm sitting there going, like, I had this running dialogue as I'm kind of watching it. I'm going, Detroit, you better score. You better score a couple times. The longer this goes like this, the more it's going to be up, goal, up, goal, up, goal. All right, let me put the kids to bed. Like, if you let this Capitals team hang around or do anything other than step on their throat, you're getting beat. Like, when they don't have their A game or their B game, whatever. I mean, smarter people than me could break down, you know, whether what I was watching, if I'm right or wrong about it. But Detroit had more scoring chances. Logan Thompson is awesome. I love that he's here. I love that he's here now for the semi-long term after they locked him up. But robbed them a couple times on some odd man rushes. A couple sort of lazy passes by the Caps get picked off. You get, you know, scoring chances. When they didn't capitalize, I go, okay, the Capitals are winning. That's what's so much fun about this team.
Yeah, it's crazy because they can win in so many different ways. You want to get up and down the ice, everybody's scoring every time down the ice, then they can do that. You want to win 7-6, they can do that. You want to play a 2-1 game, they can do that. And even when they're not sharp, like it was last night, they weren't the sharpest team that you've seen, they still find a way to win and win pretty handily. It's impressive that this team, even when things aren't clicking, you know, it can kind of change too. In the third period, it seems like even if the first two it hasn't been clicking, they can turn it on. It's just, this team is so good. They play so well together. You do worry a little bit that the fact that they're so far out ahead, you know, the rest of the season is kind of mail it in time in a sense. Maybe the Ovi goal chase adds a little bit of extra juice to keep them motivated going into the playoffs. I think they understand, you know, they're a veteran team. Guys understand this. They've gone through this before, but I'm hoping that down the stretch, they find their different ways and then they find their rhythm, because ideally, once you get into the playoffs, you don't want the grinded out 2-1. Like, I want to see you clicking. I want to see no lazy passes, tape to tape every time. I want to see a team that is a well-oiled machine, and we've seen that for large parts of the season. Seems like they've struggled a little bit recently, but they're still winning games.
Yeah, precisely. And it's the thing where I know at some point you can't get away with it. Come postseason time, you can't get away with, we gave away 10 minutes, 12 minutes, or a stretch here and there. You know, you've all watched the hockey enough, where it's so nip and tuck, it's so cutthroat, it's so, like, one mistake gets magnified. These games are all so tight that you'd like to be able to go, hey, play a full 60-minute game. It's hard just to flip the switch for that intensity. You're hoping that they've still got it in the tank, because they were doing that the first half of the season, really, right? Especially in December, it looked like, oh my God, this team's a buzzsaw. They've I don't want to say sleepwalked, if that's even the past tense of sleepwalk. They've had some moments where they haven't been themselves. But as you said, the character of the group, the understanding of the group, the no panic in the group, they're going to come back and win the game more often than not. And it's been awesome. It's a great ride. Now, kind of down the stretch, it's 14 games, give or take, I think, left. And they're going to be the number one seed. And they got a shot, man. It's really, really fun. And some injection of life is coming at some point. You think young Mr. Leonard is on his way, which will be an interesting thing.
Dude, that's going to be electric when he gets here.
A couple bits of housekeeping, I would add. Nationals made some moves, all expected to me. The names to recognize, incredibly handsome Stone Garrett, reassigned to minor league camp. He remains handsome. That dude is a walking handsome muscle. Like, that's a chiseled professional model. The instant he decides, I don't want to do baseball anymore. Maybe he could do both. I don't know. Andrew Pinckney, an intriguing young, we caught up with him. Really good dude. An intriguing, very toolsy, athletic prospect down in the minor leagues, and all of a sudden the glut of outfield depth that they've got in this organization. He was assigned to minor league camp as well. It made sense, but he really impressed, turned some heads, I think, in a few moments. And then option to AAA, a couple guys that I think are going to be futures of this thing. Robert Hassel III, who has looked pretty good, I would say, this camp, a little bit bigger, a little bit more focused on maybe some little things. Infielder Trey Lipscomb, who made such tremendous noise last year in spring training, looked like the odds-on favorite to win the second base job before Luis Garcia kind of took hold of it and didn't relinquish it. And then, of course, Brady House assigned to minor league camp as well. So that's your Nationals housekeeping. Nothing sexy or crazy there. They're on right now on television, right? Nationals on television.
Beautiful. We
it's
love to see it.
A baseball game on TV.
We literally love to see it.
We literally do. We're going to go through the NFL rule changes that are being proposed in advance. Whatever this is, by the way, the NFL should teach a class on, Tobes, where they're not even discussing the rule changes yet. But there's a little, they're like, you know what? Nobody's been saying anything about us for like a day, maybe a day and a half. No free agency moves are happening. Beep, boop, boop, beep, boop. Hey, Tom Pelissero, how's it going? Here are a couple proposals. Why don't you go ahead and tweet them out? Let you know which team said what. And we're going to be discussing them next week. Why don't you get the idiot pudgy shouters in various markets around the country to scramble and feed off of these things like food left out after dark? Why don't you throw some late night pizza into the oven and see if any frat brothers come running? That's what they're doing, and I'm here for it. We're going to discuss some of the rule changes potentially. And here's where I want to start the show. We had the first four, but it's not the first four. There's eight, but they're playing for the right to be the first four. It's my wife was asking me about this last night. She's kind of like, what is this exactly? And I said, and I was explaining to her and my 11-year-old, here's the basic gist, Tobes. This is the committee going, you don't deserve to be in the original 64 without proving one more thing to us. Whether you're a 16 seed down at the bottom because you're not good or are part of a conference that doesn't even have two rims in their home gym, or you're one of these blue bloods, say in North Carolina, who rolled last night, San Diego State, Xavier, a team that has had a lot of tournament success over the last couple of decades, Texas, a major program, obviously. Basically saying to these guys, we both know, you didn't really deserve it. Prove it, right? So that's what this is. It's that kind of first right to have a tough path. Now, some of these teams, these 11 seeds in the past, I can't pull up from the top of my head, have had some nice moments where they've got, it's like winning the wild card round in baseball. You get a little momentum. You played that week instead of sitting around for a calendar week. Wait, if you're one of these teams that is good, a mid-seed, a 5, a 6, somewhere in there, that maybe lost in their conference tournament fairly early, like in a good conference. Think of Clemson, right? They haven't played basically in a week. I'd rather play a game. I know this might be a hot take, and we'll talk about this a bit. I'd rather play a game with the chance that my tournament could be over than sit around for 8 days just trying to wait for that much hyped type thing, especially if I'm not that good. Now, if I'm Duke, I want every day I can possibly get, and I'm going to walk in and go, how's your ankle, Coop? How's your ankle, Coop? How's your ankle, Coop? How's your ankle, Coop? Like, you know what I mean? You need that. But if you're a team that's not that awesome, that's good but not great, I'd rather play than not play. But anyway, so that was last night, and we got a great one to start us off.
Yeah, so there's a couple of teams that were 11 seeds that have gone on long runs. VCU was an 11 seed that was in the first four.
Did they do the first four?
And they went to the final four and lost to Butler. And one of my favorite teams to watch a couple of years ago was the UCLA team to beat Michigan State in overtime in the first four.
There you go.
They ended up in the final four when they lost to Gonzaga. Jalen Suggs hit that crazy shot to win that one at the buzzer after Juzang was
That's really good.
So that was a really fun team to watch as well. So you've seen some teams go on some runs out of these things. And honestly, Danny, we're going to talk a little more about Carolina when we get the chance, but they might be a team that goes on a little bit of a run because it seems like they've gotten hot. Sometimes you see some of these teams that are barely sneaking in. They hear the noise, especially a blue blood like Carolina, where they were talking about it all night on the broadcast because they had plenty of time because it was never close. But they kind of got rolling. Maybe they keep rolling, but it's not the real tournament yet. It's a nice appetizer because you had a great game last night. Like, when's the last time you watched Alabama State play basketball? Like, never.
I may have caught one at some point somewhere. Who knows? Like, one of those. Like, let's just see how long I take. And them and St. Francis. So if you didn't catch it, ends up a shot goes in with 0.7 seconds left. They put another second or 0.3 seconds back on the clock. Alabama State won. It was a thriller. It was a great game. Two teams just doing everything they possibly could to keep their seasons alive. And it was thrilling. It was awesome. It was a lot of fun. So here's the question that I want everyone here. I want Corporate Clary to be able to weigh in. I want Darius Dameron to be able to weigh in. I want Toby to weigh in. I'll weigh in. You guys will weigh in too at 800-636-1067. Because I don't know that there's a straight answer to this. Has the NCAA tournament started yet? Or does it start Thursday? At one point, they called that the first round.
Which was terrible.
They've changed that a little bit because they're like, okay, we know that it's not, right? Now, everybody's bracket, like, for example, you could pick a bracket before last night that had one of these 11 seeds beating a 6, or you could pick the 16 seed over Auburn or whatever if you felt like it. You could pick Alabama State to beat Auburn if you wanted to, or whatever, whoever they're playing. But to me, this is akin to the NBA play-in game or little play-in tourney thing where they've made it so there are teams that have earned the right to be in the postseason. You have to do one more thing to be in the postseason. Therefore, the postseason hasn't actually started yet. It's like a pre-tournament. And that's my sort of weird mental thing for it. And I think, unfortunately, you and me are going to agree to this. We don't really necessarily have a great case for the opposing view. But to me, the tournament has not started yet. Do you think it has?
No, it has not. I mean, it's something that's a nice appetizer, like I said. You get a Tuesday and a Wednesday, because it's crazy how quick the turnaround is, by the way. You get Selection Sunday, you get a day off, and then immediately on Tuesday night, you're getting basketball and your television, getting ready for this thing. But the reason it's not the tournament, Danny, you can still submit your brackets. Like, it's not something you have to turn it in before the game's on Tuesday. You can pick one of the two teams, and you can still fill everything out until basically noon on Thursday. So it's not the start of the tournament yet, but it is something that they're talking about expanding this, the tournament, and maybe getting up to upwards of 70 teams. Please don't. It was fine when it was just 64. Now that you're at 68 with this first four, I can live with that. It's fine exactly how it is. You get a good 16 seed game last night. You have a little bit of a blowout in the 11 seed game, but it's nice. You get some teams like you've probably watched the Texas or Xavier game in the last couple of years. Maybe not this year, but you at least know those teams. You get to watch American and Mount St. Mary's tonight. Like, I think it's a good mix of what you have where you get to see some of these teams against, and you get to learn some of these 16 seeds before they eventually get blown out by Auburn or Duke or Houston or whoever they're going to play. So I don't want them to expand it is the main thing, but no, the tournament has not started yet.
Let me try to make the, because I agree with you. Let me try to make the case to say that it has started. Did two teams get eliminated last night?
They did.
How'd they get eliminated?
They lost.
In?
a tournament.
Didn't the tournament start then? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
you're basically now playing games for the right to continue playing. So isn't that just an extension of the tournament? All you're adding is a tournament game, right? For a team that maybe wasn't as deserving, you're adding an extra hurdle, but you're still talking about NCAA tournament action. It's all sanctioned. It's not like they went to the CBI or whatever this new thing in Vegas is that my GW revolutionaries, I'll get used to that one day, are playing in, right? Georgetown's playing in it. It's not like they're doing that. This is for the right to play in the NCAA tournament. It's not a conference tournament. This is the postseason. That's where they're going. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, you can make that argument, but I just, like you said, with the basketball and the NBA, the play-in tournament, first of all, I think that's incredibly stupid as well, but you're not really in the playoffs yet, are you? Like, that doesn't count. Also, the thing that the NBA does, and they kind of tell you it's not the playoffs, those stats that you accrue, I think, in the play-in tournament don't even accrue for anything. Like, there's no...
So they're not postseason stats.
They don't even become postseason
Interesting.
Stats. So I'm pretty sure, like, that kind of tells you that their little play-in tournament is its own little standalone thing. If that's the case, then this little first four thing, it's fun. It's a good way to get basketball on the TV so you're thinking about it again. And it's one of those things where on Thursday and Friday, you don't want to miss a game, especially the good ones. On these ones, you know, if I miss Texas Xavier tonight, I'll be all right.
So now as Darius is working his way back to the console here, Ryan was not with us yesterday. He was working from home, which you could do if you're corporate. Right, you can do that if you're corporate. You can sort of tell your peers in the C-suite, hey, I'm not going to be in today. I'll be on email or whatever. So I would like a full intro for Ryan Clary here, Darius, if we can muster that, just to get his corporate opinion. Is he's a guy that has to deal with multi-million-dollar deals, and he's sitting in with the ad executives, the TV executives, planning programming. He runs a lot of stuff around these parts. So let it build for a second before we introduce. Corporate Ryan Clary, has the tournament started, sir?
It has not.
Ooh.
And the reason why that is because this is the... Danny, what were you saying? It's not like the NCAA tournament, but it's the... What are they doing?
Play-in?
The play-in tournament. So this is not the NCAA tournament.
So the play-in tournament is over for Alabama State?
Yeah.
It's a one game, that's it? That
one
was their
game,
tournament?
That was it. That was their opportunity to make the tournament. And they did not because they were in the play-in tournament, which is just one game, but you have to win that game to then get into the real tournament here.
So, yeah. Again, I'm arguing against myself here because I'm trying to present the other case because I agree. I don't think the tournament starts tomorrow, just afternoon. One team has been eliminated. Two teams got eliminated. San Diego State got eliminated and St. Francis of Pennsylvania got eliminated.
Yes.
What did they get eliminated from?
The play-in tournament.
Hmm. That's a good retort. That's how you get up the corporate ladder.
I got to be honest. I thought the corporate guy would go along with the whole, yeah, the tournament starts on Tuesday.
Branding and synergy.
68 teams, you know, big deal.
Dayton's a key piece of inventory for us here at the corporate level. Darius, has the tournament started yet?
What do I have in my hand here, Danny?
That's an NCAA tournament bracket.
Yeah, you hear that?
Yeah.
What's at the top of this bracket here?
Let me see. I can't see from here. It looks like the different games and days and regions.
Yeah. And then at the very top,
Also, looks like eight teams.
Oh, eight teams.
And four games.
Yeah. Oh, next to it, it says the first four. I think the tournament started.
There it is.
Oh.
I knew we had one. I knew it.
Let's go.
I knew it. Now, make your case, sir. Make your case.
So, I think all in all, It's a part of the entire experience. It is now. It's been ingrained in part of the entire experience.
So we have to separate. I'm sorry to cut you off. I'm gonna let you finish.
Yeah.
We have to separate whether we like it or not.
True.
Like the idea of it's hard to get excited about a blowout in Dayton. You know what I mean? Like I'm not that into that. But it's here and it's real and it counts.
Correct. And it's presented in the same fashion. You're still getting the some of the A commentator teams and things like that. It's got the same broadcast presentation as any other March Madness game that's going to happen over the next several weeks. I don't see why this is not a part of the tournament, why this is not the official start of the tournament.
Yeah, I mean, it just doesn't... Well, first of all, you don't get 11 seeds versus 11 seeds in the actual tournament. That's my thing. It's like, these sorts of matchups just don't happen. And maybe this is what you want to look at as the kickoff of it. And it's like a appetizer, but it feels like what Ryan was saying, where it's a play into the tournament. And I guess if you want to say that counts as a part of the tournament. If we're going to get technical with that, then fine. But I don't view the real start of the tournament until Thursday. But that being said, I'm not going to complain about two basketball games that were, one was good last night, one was terrible. But still, two college hoops games on my TV last night, two on my TV tonight before a barrage of college hoops Thursday and Friday. Sign me up. Whatever it is, whether it's a tournament or not, I enjoy it.
But even in that barrage of tournament games that we're going to get on Thursday and Friday, let's not act like we're not going to get several blowouts throughout that entire barrage.
Oh, absolutely.
Sure. And why? What makes this any different? What makes the first four any different?
Yeah, I mean, it's true. I mean, North Carolina played a heck of a game last night. It's also good, too, because, you know, seeing a team like a North Carolina, it almost works like the wild card was for a little bit with baseball, right? Mm-hmm. Where it was like a one-game playoff, sort of get in and then see if you can go in a roll like the Nats did in 19. That counted as the playoff. So maybe Darius could talk me into that a little bit, but I'm still going to lean with tournament starts tomorrow.
I posted one of these polls on Elon's app, at Funny Danny, and I worded it terribly because it was during the segment, so people were joning on that, so I deleted it and then posted a new one. The eight teams who are doing the play-in games have started. Question is simple. Has the NCAA tournament started, or does it start Thursday? The answers are yes, it has, and no, it starts Thursday. We'll get you the update on those results as they come in, and I want to hear from you guys. Kind of an informal straw poll, because there was some debate about this. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Has the NCAA tournament started yet, or does it start for good on Thursday? Washington Capitals defenseman Jacob Chychrun is going to join this program for his weekly spot. We're doing that a little after 3 p.m., so stay tuned for that. This program is exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morab, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Toby Altizer in for GP today. It is G&D here on The Fan. Kind of stumbled into this as I've been, you know, just talking to folks and kind of hearing the buzz in the world of sport, Tobias. And the debate's super quick. Has the NCAA tournament started yet? The first four are underway. There were two games last night, two more tonight. My argument is no. But I can absolutely see that the answer could be yes, because as Darius pointed out, they're on the bracket. This isn't a conference tournament. It's not the CBI or the NIT. These are NCAA tournament games, or at least adjacent to them. I could see it starting. So I'm saying no, but I understand the other side.
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell how the NCAA feels about it, whether it's an official start or not. I mean, last night they're talking about it's the first ever win for Alabama State in the NCAA tournament. So I guess they count it as a win, because Alabama State's only ever going to get a win in the NCAA tournament if they beat Duke or if they beat Auburn or they beat some one seed, which just doesn't happen very often, obviously. So maybe they're going to count that. I don't know. It's just still, for me as a fan, I don't know. It just still doesn't feel like it's actually started yet.
Yeah, so, like, by letter of the law, I think we all understand that it has, right? Where you win your conference, you win your league, some of these small one-bid leagues, right? Where you're going to the NCAA tournament, you may just have to play an extra game.
Well, and so what I think is interesting about that is we were actually having this discussion down in West Palm with some of the Nats beat reporters about the 16 seeds getting in. So you have St. Francis and Alabama State playing last night, and St. Francis loses to Alabama State, and they're just done. Did they really get to experience the NCAA tournament, or did they not? Like, they won their tournament, their conference tournament to get in. Mm-hmm. They get the automatic bid, and they lost to Alabama State, and they're done. And I think it's an interesting discussion of whether, if you're a 16 seed, you're playing at Alabama State, or tonight you're playing at either Mount St. Mary's or American, would you rather be in the first four, playing against someone in your weight class where you could legitimately win an NCAA tournament game, which it's considered, right? You can say you did that. Or would you rather just say immediately get thrown into the Lions Den and face Florida or face Auburn or face Duke or Houston? I think I'd rather be thrown right into the fire, because then it's a cool experience I can tell everybody off about for the rest of my life. I might lose by 40, but I get to say I played Cooper Flag, right? Like,
yeah.
I feel like that's what I'd rather have.
Let's go to Sean in Arlington. Sean, has the tourney started yet or no?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, man.
Really love the show.
Thank you, buddy.
Personally, for me, the tournament hasn't started yet. Kind of a purist. It's, you know, 64 teams. But I think the best argument to say that it has started is if you look at it, and it pains to say it because I'm a Michigan State fan, but they've made 27 consecutive tournament appearances, yet they were bounced by UCLA
in that first
in
four.
The 2021 season in the four-game play-in. So definitely, as you guys kind of just alluded to, the NCAA definitely considers the tournament has started, and that would be my best rationale for that.
There it is, Sean. I mean, now, I kind of don't care what the officials say, because that's a branding and money-making thing. If they were like, yeah, this thing's a lot lesser, it's in Dayton for whatever reason, Here's the Dayton Flight Museum. There are a couple planes. You can't charge for it, but you got to brand it the right thing. Where like the NBA couldn't be like, yeah, this nine seed kind of stinks and doesn't deserve anything, but we're not gonna call it the condescending open.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's like it's the play-in thing, and they're gonna consider it. The playoffs have started today because you're trying to sell things, you're trying to market stuff. So like the official element of that doesn't mean as much to me.
Yeah, I mean, officially, they're going to obviously count it, but it just, as a fan, the feel of it is not the same. It's a little bit different. It's still good, it's just not the same.
Yeah, I mean, I was wildly entertained by that St. Francis game last night. Mike in Manassas, has the tourney started?
Yes, absolutely it has. And the reason being is, you look at your American universities, your Alabama States and all them, those guys, you know, just bang their way through their seasons trying to be as good as they can, win their tournament, and they get there. And then you want them to say later to their children and grandchildren, yeah, I got into the almost tourney.
The pre-tourney.
Into the tourney.
Right. Thank you, Mike. Appreciate you. Yeah, I mean, the way I tell the story, we definitely got in.
Well,
you know?
And that's the thing for me about the 16 seeds is I want to be in the round of 64, though. So I feel like I'm like, if I lose to Duke, there's no shame. If I lose to St. Francis or I lose to Alabama State, there's not really shame. They deserve to be in the tournament. They won their conference tournament. Not saying there's some slouch, but it's a little bit different than saying I got pieced by Duke, right? Like, I can live with that. If I say I never got to even play in the round of 64, have those extra couple of days being a part of the tournament because I lost to Alabama State, be a little bit frustrated by that.
So let's go to your, and by the way, this is Great Nanny's poll of the day presented by Metropolitan Moving and Storage. Visit DCMetropolitanMoving.com. I posted it and we're like, you know what? This poll's so good. Like, Danny's so good at posting polls.
So
Station
good.
Just posted it. So it's like, I mean, it's not like they're copying me, but it's still like nice to feel endorsed in that way. What about your, would you rather play the playing game or go right to be cannon fodder? It's the 16 seed, the 11 seed, different animal. You'd rather be off that line altogether. I understand that. There was a fierce debate, if I can say that, in the Nationals media room. There's a lot of downtime. So locker room gets open from on a given day, say 8 to 9 a.m. So all the media folks, we schlepped down the hallway, and you're catching up with whoever. You're trying to write a story about this guy. So you ask that. Manager's office will open a little bit after that. You go in there. Who's going to open day start? I'll tell you tomorrow. What's going on with this guy, et cetera, et cetera. Then you go back and you wait for the next availability to do something before a PR guy comes and taps you and tells you it's time to go. So one of the debates was, would you rather be one of the 16 seeds that just starts right away and you got Houston? If you're SIU Edwardsville, you got the Houston Cougars, dude. Grown men who are going to beat the brakes off of you. Or do you want to be one of the two teams that played last night for a chance to lose to the number one overall seed, Auburn, right? And the debate was pretty fierce, I would say. There are people on either side. To me, I think I would rather play a game and for the chance of getting two games. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
sure.
It's more time on Natty TV, more time where they're treating me great, more time where it's, you know, people get to know me, or it's one game and I'm done. I'm going to be one and done anyway if I go play Auburn, probably. I mean, there's a UMBC, we saw the story, but this is a different animal here. I think for me, if I'm one of these programs that's subject to playing as a potential playing game, meaning I'm part of whatever league that you can't name right now, and I win it, and it's like, yeah, you won it, but that's adorable. There are a bunch of conferences that are represented here too. I think I want more games. The more times I get to play on the big stage, quote unquote, the better it is for the little engine that could.
Yeah, I mean, I think I would rather be immediately into the round of 64. I can hear your point, though, because, you know, thinking just personally, like if you're on American or Mount St. Mary's tonight, you're going to get talked about for 40 minutes of basketball because you're playing a game that theoretically should be a good one, right? Back and forth. You know, if you're the star player of American or Mount St. Mary's, you're going to hear your name a lot. You know, they're interviewing a guy from Alabama State last night. You hear guys, like, there was some great shot making down the stretch there from St. Francis as well. They're talking about all those guys. Reality is, if you immediately step in and play Auburn, chances are you're talked about for 5 minutes at the beginning of the game, and then you're down by 15, 10 minutes into the game, and that's it. They talk about Jahni Broome a million
times.
That's
kind of my point, yeah.
But I kind of feel like, for me, and maybe this is why I wasn't a very good athlete, because I kind of accept the fact that I'm probably going to lose this game, I'd rather just be there and say, if I lost to Alabama State, I'd be frustrated that I didn't get to say I played against somebody cool. I want to step in and play Duke and say, you know, I lost in the NCAA tournament the one time I got there, but I lost to Cooper Flagg. I played against that guy. I can say that forever. Am I going to say I played against whoever the guy was that hit the game-winning shot last night for Alabama State? No, I'm not going to remember his name in 10 years. But if I played against Cooper Flagg, if I played against Jahni Broome, if I played against some of these dudes, the rest of my life I'm going to tell my kids, I got to play against that guy. We lost by 40, but I got to play against that dude.
So I think there's a distinction that I would offer. And it's a, I don't want to say it's a unique perspective, but having played mid-major sports myself, like more time where they're treating you just like the big boys, I'd do whatever I could to sign up for that. Does that make sense? So like right now, how many players on Mount St. Mary's can you name?
None.
None, right? With all due respect to those guys, they're a tournament team, et cetera. They're going to have a time on television tonight where they're breaking down, I'm looking it up, a dude named Ard. They're breaking down Ard hard. They're going to let you know, like, he's a slasher. He doesn't shoot great from three, but he can go fill it up. And he was big for them in conference. They're doing for us what we don't get very often. If you're Texas or Xavier or UCLA, some of these teams that have been in the first four, it's like humiliating. It's embarrassing because what you're supposed to be is on the four or five line in the regular tournament, and you should have a regional not far from where you live. It's not quite the Duke to Greensboro situation where they give you a path to the Elite Eight every year, but whatever. It's still, that's what's supposed to be happening for you if you're a blue blood. If you're not, this is the only time in your career you're getting that. And if you got a chance at two of those, I would take it. You get one, no matter what, and it's going to be awesome. Where they're breaking down, your game, like you're one of the big boys, like the guys you see on TV, etc. I think that would be incredible, right?
Yeah, I mean, to your point, it's a chance to go in and win a game. The chances of you winning against the one seed are next to none. It's happened, but is anyone going to give Duke a run for their money in the first round this year? Probably not. Is anything going to happen to Auburn or Florida or Houston? Probably not. There are certain teams that are more vulnerable to it, like that. Obviously, that UVA team that lost to UMBC was vulnerable, and they were able to overcome that and win that game. But it just doesn't seem like this year that's going to be the case. If you were to tell me that I get the opportunity to go against somebody in my weight class that I walk in feeling like I have a good chance of beating, then maybe that is the right sort of idea to have, to say, not only do I get to play against that team once I, you know, beat whoever my opponent is in the first four, I get to at least cherish the memory of winning an NCAA tournament game. So I think I could understand that. That being said, sign me up for being on the same floor as someone, some stud that I can say for the rest of my life.
Jacob Chikrin joins us at 3. He's a stud. Can't wait to talk to him. We've got one travel story we couldn't tell yesterday because Ryan wasn't here. So we'll do that next. And remember, Jacob Chikrin at 3. I got Nationals opening day tickets for you at 4. We got some NFL rule changes to go over. Plenty of fun sports banter to come. Grant and Danny on the Fan. G&D on the Fan. Toby is in for Jeeps. March matchups are here, and there's no better place to catch every game with us than Tap Sports Bar at MGM National Harbor. Join 106.7 The Fan's B. Mitch and Finley and Grant and Danny this Thursday and Friday for the opening round of the men's tourney. We're doing our shows live at Tap with mouthwatering game day bites, tons of TVs. Your tournament headquarters is waiting only at MGM National Harbor. Quite simply, I'm going to be very clear about this. I love going to that place, and I love watching the NCAA tournament there while eating delicious appetizers. It's one of my favorite things to do in the world. I love it, Topes. Can't wait.
Yeah, nothing beats having just a lot of TVs, great food for that first couple days of the NCAA tournament, great company, everybody living and dying on all the last second shots going down. Then you turn over to the next TV with 5 minutes left in that game. Nothing better.
Like, you, there's a little pocket. All of a sudden, you're like, "Who? Where are you?" And it's like nine guys from Creighton. I've never actually met a person that went to Creighton, but right. Like all the local Creighton alums are there sharing a pretzel. Oh, it's just the best, man.
It's great.
I cannot wait for that. That's this Thursday. So this past weekend, and we've got we're gonna be playing. I think who are we playing today, Darius? We said it. I forgot to write it down. Trevor Williams, right? We had we caught up with a bunch of Nationals. We were at spring training. Had a great trip. Thanks again to them for making that all possible. Tobias Funke, myself, Jeeps, who's still down there at West Palm, Corporate Ryan Clary allowed the whole thing to happen under his watchful eye and mentorship, just you know, keeping all the things moving seamlessly. And we were down there, got some great interviews. We played a bunch of them for you. We will have our chat with Nationals pitcher Trevor Williams in the 6 o'clock hour, coinciding, by the way, with when we give away some Wizards tickets, a little Wizards Wednesday on the Fence. So we'll do Wizards, and we'll do something Nationals-related. We can do that. It's the power of the radio. So the story we couldn't tell yesterday because Rhino was out with a little bit of a post-trip malaise, illness, whatever. Seems to be feeling better today. When the plane is boarding, generally, I'm asking you guys out there in Radio Land, Tobes, I'll pose it to you. When the plane's boarding, they're not on group one or group two or group three or group, or, you know, the tail end of group four, starting group five. What do you do? What do people do generally?
Usually congregate by the gate.
Close by.
Yeah, just hang out, waiting for, you know, if I'm in group eight or group nine, I'm there, you know, 5 minutes beforehand, just hanging out. And then as they're announcing the groups, I'm nearby. That way, as soon as they call group eight, group nine, whatever I am, I'm not in a rush, but I'm going to get on the plane at my appropriate time because I cannot miss the plane. I just can't have that happen.
Well, what's the point of being there at the airport?
To get on the airplane.
To get on the plane. What would someone not do in general? Like a regular person that like understands the gravity of the situation. What do you think like they would not do in a million years for any reason?
Yeah, normally I would not go the other direction.
The other direction.
Of wherever the plane is going and wherever the gate is. I would usually be headed that way when it's boarding, not the other direction.
What did Ryan do?
He went the other direction.
He did. Did he do it once?
He did it twice.
Two times. Ready to connect
and
the flight.
He did it twice, one flight out of PBI, and then he did it again in Charlotte on our connecting flight.
So he did it three times total?
He did it three times total.
Man. Now, I thought I had an ally in my guy, Ryan. As we've traveled before, he has the appropriate angst, anxiety, fear for the complications of the travel process. We are both blessed to have Grant Paulson as a friend and cursed to have him as a traveling companion. He's the everything is just going to work out guy, and he kind of waves his hand at you. And, like, most of the time it does work out. But when it doesn't, it's the biggest disaster possible, right? And he never acknowledges even that it's possible. And so the point I always try to make to him is for so many years, and I'm going off on a tangent, he's like, I'm like, hey, look at this Dan Snyder news. Look, this. He goes, is he on the team? He's going on it forever. I can't even talk about it. I'm going, no, but look, this one's serious. It might. He's like, wake me up when it does. And then it did. See what I'm saying? Sometimes Dan Snyder doesn't own the team anymore. Sometimes the thing happens. I thought I had an ally in Ryan Clary. I didn't think I had a guy that would take off during boarding, mutter something, leave a heavy, expensive suitcase Comrex thing just for anybody to walk by and snag, like we're doing bag drops in Mission Impossible, and mutter something and then meander off, restroom trip, trying to find the perfect bottle of water. I could not believe it. Ryan, your thoughts?
Yes, because I did do all those things, but let me just acknowledge this, though.
Yes.
So, yeah, I did go to the bathroom
yep.
while we were boarding.
Mm-hmm.
I did go fill up my water bottle.
Yep.
But let me ask you this. What group were we? I was group 8.
Well, hold on. This is what makes it even worse.
No, it does not.
It was group 8, and it wasn't like group 1 now boarding, group 1, and Ryan's like, let me run real quick. I know we got a couple groups. It was like group 4.
It was boarding. You guys were group 4. I was group 8 and group 9. I still have my tickets. I was group 8.
We were group 8.
And I asked Toby.
I was group 9.
Because I, again...
Because I'm 4.
I knew that we would be perfectly fine. So I was like, hey, Toby, can you just watch the Comrex? I went back to go to the bathroom and grab a water bottle. And I came back. Group 4 was boarding. I'm still group 8. I went to the bathroom. I got a water bottle. Everything was fine. I did that for both flights.
Yeah, you left her at group 5 on our connecting flight. Now,
I did. I made it back.
And you did make it back. And I'm good for you.
Everything's fine.
This time it worked out. There's several points to be made. Number one. The wandering off, leaving the bag, you guys, there's a huge deal here. Like, we're numbers. We're at the end. There's no frequent flyer. Yes, there's no special treatment. For both flights, you realize there were zero people in group 7? Just FYI?
I had no idea.
The later groups, you never know. I don't know who's the subset of group 4 that's like, hey, you booked early enough or you checked in early enough. Group 5, you're kind of the tail end of that group. I don't know who 6 and 7 are.
You're right.
Six and 7 is a very, very limited group. So as soon as they're on group 6... Group 6 and our first board, two people came up. No one was hovering around for group 7 from our flight from Palm Beach. So I instantly realized I'm going to be next. I'm going to be first in group 8. And I sauntered right up there and she goes, now boarding group 8. Bam. See what I'm saying? Group 7, like that, didn't exist. You ran the risk. Now,
ran the risk.
You're probably going to make it back in time, but you sacrificed potential storage space. The thing that everybody doesn't understand about travel. You are directly competing with these people for space, air, resources, and everything else.
You're right.
We lost the face-off, and we had to check our bags at the damn gate.
Mm-hmm.
We lost it.
Yeah.
And you were so callous about it.
I was, because, again, you know what? It's weird. It's funny, because I got back for group 4, and so I did see group 6 and group 7. I just didn't pay any attention to it, because I'm that guy. Once I see the plane, and once I see my gate... And once I make sure that the plane is really there and that this ticket is a real thing, I'm perfectly fine. Everything else will work out. I'm going to get on that plane. In fact, I typically like being the last person on board, and I'm just okay with that. I'm perfectly fine with it.
So
everything will work out.
I don't mind that philosophy. On longer flights, I don't hate his philosophy of being the last dude on the plane. That doesn't bother me at all. The thing that does bother me, though, is potentially not being the last person on the plane, but the first person to miss it because I went to the bathroom when you were boarding. That's what bothers me.
Because we're all trying to get out of there.
Yes.
I know.
We got, and like, everybody's in this together, but we're also competing. It's like trying to make the Nats roster.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you know, some people get sent down to AAA, but they all want to make the roster. You're competing with people, but at the end of the day, we're part of the same org. We're trying to get there. That's what being on a plane is.
It's fair. I think that maybe at West Palm Beach, I was a little too comfortable there because it was a zoo for whatever reason on a Monday.
Yeah.
That was a little much, I'm not going to lie. But in Charlotte, there was a bathroom right across the gate. I knew you guys had the bag. We were all good and everything
well,
worked
that's
out.
The other
we
bit.
Got
that's
home
the other bit.
At midnight.
Imposed on us.
That's the other bit.
You see that?
A little bit like if you would have said, I'm going to take the Comrex and I'm going to run and do whatever you want. If you missed a flight, whatever, man. Like that's on you. But if you're like, I'm going to leave this back and you watch this,
you
now I can't leave.
Yeah, now I can't
now
go.
Now I can't go.
Group 8, not you, Tobes. Jacob Chickren, 5 minutes away here on The Fan.